This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at @itswilltime and at @BarnettJake. On today's show, looking at the participants and the format of the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. So Jake, how do you feel with the knowledge that the Global Force Wrestling Tag Team Champions are going to be in the Global Cruiserweight Tournament? I want to start out with the hot takes today. Does this make you question investing your life savings in Global Force Gold?
Yes, I still have not received my my free T-shirt that I would have gotten had I invested all of my life savings in Global Force Gold.
But you got Jason and I to invest too beneath you, so it's like you're climbing that ladder of success.
That triangular thing. I think I have to sign up like my entire family and all the people I work with before I see any dividends at all. Did they get to carry around those gaudy green belts? Like, is that something they just do?
With the weird dragons on them? Because every Global Force belt had this crazy weird dragon. Yeah, I have no idea. Have any Global Force shows ever aired? Like, they have champions, but I can't remember any of it, like any video of a show getting out there.
I thought they had, like, one, like, short TV deal in, like, Australia or something at one point, but it hasn't aired domestically, and I know that they've done spot shows, like they were running minor league baseball arenas and whatnot, but I don't think they have had any full-time employment for anybody. I think those championships were just very expensive investments for the TV launch, which never really happened.
Yeah, that's a bummer. It would be nice if those things actually mattered, but then again, it's Global Force Wrestling. Like, it didn't exactly look like it was going to be the most successful show to start things off, which should make me feel bad. Like, saying that should make me feel guilty. But this show actually is not about the Global Force Wrestling, but about the Cruiserweight the WWE Cruiserweight Classic, which begins taping soon. And we're starting off this conversation with Gurv and Harv Sira, who are the Bollywood boys in Global Force Wrestling. They will be in the Cruiserweight Classic. I'm looking at the field for this right now, and Jake, I'm surprised by the number of names that I have only heard but never seen, and even more by the number of names that I just haven't seen. I think you and I both consider ourselves to be decently educated wrestling fans, but this is this pool of guys goes pretty deep, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I don't follow international indies as much as I do American indies, and so if guys haven't worked here at all before and they haven't made it to a major promotion somewhere, you know, at least there's a couple of you know, indies out of the UK that I pay attention to, but you know, like, you know, Rev Pro or something. But I don't know if I've seen, you know, a lot of these guys that are coming from Mexico and you know, they have some Japanese talent, they have Brazilian talent, they have European talent that's been exclusively European. And so I'm kind of pleasantly surprised that going into this tournament, there's going to be people that I've just never seen compete before. I think it's one of the, you know, more interesting elements of this is that we're going to see guys who perhaps haven't even competed with each other, you know, try to find that instant chemistry, and we'll have to see who succeeds and who doesn't.
Are you surprised to see a lack of, like, anyone from the WWE main roster, say, like, a Neville, or even some of the higher-level NXT guys? Part of me almost expected Finn Balor to, like, dramatically enter this thing or something. We have no one from that. I mean, the NXT guys we have in are Rich Swann, who's only been in squash matches, and Johnny Gargano, and is Tommaso in there even? Yeah, and Tommaso Ciampa, who have done a little bit, who have, you know, gotten over, like, gotten to be characters, but they aren't exactly these standout performers in NXT. That's pretty cool that we're seeing I don't think one exclusively contracted wrestler in this tournament.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it really, you know, hammers home the fact that this is a new kind of concept for WWE. I don't know, you know, I can't remember really the last time that we saw this type of thing take place in a major wrestling promotion where you just had an exhibition type tournament with guys who are not under contract, who are just coming in to show off their stuff. I think there's quite a few people that that folks will recognize. Obviously, you said, you know, Gargano and Ciampa, and then there's, you know, people are probably familiar with Cedric Alexander and TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick, and maybe some people have seen Arya Daivari if they're in the Midwest, or, you know, Zack Sabre. Yeah, Tajiri, Zack Sabre Jr., I mean, Nobushi, if you paid attention to New Japan. I mean, there's a lot of people that are going to be familiar, but I mean, that's really only like, I don't know, a third of the field. Yeah. You know, it's like there's a lot of guys in this tournament that people probably haven't had a lot of experience with. And I think that's a good thing, because WWE, you know, despite how good NXT has been, you know, we have this draft coming up and the brand split. I think they're going to have to bring quite a few of these guys into NXT or just into the fold in order to fill out that roster.
And I think this is a great way to introduce them. We heard, so the thing that I'm most excited about isn't even like getting to see Zack Sabre Jr. finally in a WWE ring. It's not getting to see Drew Gulak put people to sleep on the WWE network. I mean, literally, he doesn't choke people out. They just fall asleep.
That could be like a service, though. Just an hour worth of Drew Gulak matches.
That could be kind of nice, yeah.
Late night, put yourself to bed kind of thing.
It just fades to black right at, like, towards the middle, and you don't even notice.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the thing I'm most excited about is the way, apparently, it's going to be presented. Triple H talked in the conference call he did before NXT last week about presenting this show as something completely different, giving it a more sports-like feel, making it feel like a really different thing than the WWE main roster or NXT or any of that. You look already with how WWE has been listing these guys. Each one of them is kind of listed as coming from somewhere. They're kind of making it like a TNA's Old World Cup or their I'm trying to think of the words. TNA's old like World Cup or even the Lucha World Cup like thing that they do. They're giving each guy this kind of bond of pride from a country. They're making them feel really really special in that way. The idea of a more sports-like feel on the product, that excites me. Like, the idea that it's about points or about, you know, not just, can he overcome the odds? But that it's about, hey, we want to take you through a tournament and give it a real sportsy feel. I think they could do a lot with this.
So, have they announced who the announcers are going to be commentary-wise for this?
Nope.
Interesting. I'm just wondering if it's going to be the NXT familiars, if they're going to be bringing people in for this. It's going to be fun to see how this all shapes up and how it's presented on the network. And I'm assuming we're going to see this become like a weekly first run type stuff, you know, before it becomes like a dump. I don't assume we're going to get the whole thing just thrown on the network at once for people to binge watch, but
I believe they're taping it in a fashion where that won't really be possible. It's going to be, I think it's a weekly show, and they're taping it like they're taping 4 weeks at a time, but I think they're taping 4 weeks out or something like that across multiple tapings. And the last show, I believe, is going to air live on the network.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm excited for a lot of these matchups, just to see where the chemistry develops, to see if, you know, the veterans, the people that, you know, that everybody is somewhat familiar with are the ones that shine, or if we see somebody unexpected that just totally takes the champion or the whole setup, the classic by storm. I'm kind of optimistic that we could see somebody break out. I'm not sure how familiar, you know, the NXT audience or even the broader WWE audience is with guys like Ibushi, who we know are just crazy good. So I think there's a lot of reasons to look at this lineup and say, well, you know, maybe we don't get all the matches we want. I'm assuming they're going to have to do some kind of round robin format, but maybe we're going to see, you know, everything that people want to see based on how they break up these pools, because they definitely have enough talent here to where, you know, by the end of this, we could see, I don't know, there's got to be at least 50 matches in there.
Today on ProWrestling.net, you can read the latest reviews of Lucha Underground, NXT, TNA Impact Wrestling, WWE, SmackDown, well, that's later tonight, and Monday Night Raw. You can also catch up on all the wrestling news of the day. ProWrestling.net members are doing all of this ad-free, as well as listening to exclusive audio reviews of all of those shows, plus... gets crazy here, the .NET Weekly audio show, which often breaks first run news you're not going to hear anywhere else. No, really, you don't hear it anywhere else. It's crazy that way. Like, it just doesn't happen. So guys, you want a piece of that. You also want to hear Jason Powell and Jake Barnett's audio review of WWE Money in the Bank this weekend, as well as read Jason's live coverage ad-free. Get that .NET membership, you guys. $7.50 a month if you just want to take 1 month at a time, or if you take the annual option, $5.50 a month. We really believe in what we do, and we would really appreciate it if you checked it out. Also, you guys, rate us, review us on iTunes, hit us up with like that 5-star rating. That's a really good one. At least that's what I've heard from other wrestling journalists. It's a great rating. And yeah, enjoy the rest of the show, you guys. Yeah. That there's something, what, like 32 guys in this? They could easily give you 50-something matches. They could do a lot. They haven't actually even said what the format of this tournament is going to be. That kind of excites me in a way. What are they going to make the actual tournament into? Is it going to be a point system, you know, with kind of an A group and a B group akin to the G1 or the... or New Japan's Best of the Super Juniors? Is it going to be a 32-man tournament that gets whittled down with, you know, 16 matches in the first round, and then it gets whittled down lower and lower until you have finals? I think that could be really compelling and fun as well. I kind of want to see what WWE does, how they make all of that work, how the logic of it works, and what, if they're going for a sports-like feel, what stories they can tell throughout the tournament. You know, obviously Zack Sabre Jr. is going to come in as a favorite. WWE.com even has an article listed saying he's a favorite to win it all. Do they do something where Zack Sabre Jr. loses early, and then one of the stories, as there are fewer and fewer matches on the shows that are part of the tournament, one of the stories is Zack Sabre Jr. trying to avenge that loss? Or do they do something like a surprise guy, someone like Gurv Sira or Harv Sira, you know, one of those guys going on kind of a Cinderella run through the tournament where they beat more established wrestlers that you got, you know, guys like Tajiri or, you know, Brian Kendrick, who are these established veterans that you kind of don't expect to take a loss, but then they do. Do you get a Tajiri going on a run where it's a veteran who can do, you know, that story of the veteran going on a run through the tournament, showing he's still got some fire in him? There are so many cool things they can do with this field that WWE themselves just, they refuse to do this with tournaments. Look at the way they did King of the Ring on the network as a one-night show a couple years back, and just how disappointing that was.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's definitely opportunity for them to screw this up. I mean, it's, you can't rule out a screw up. I mean, it's within the realm of possibility.
What if the different feel is like a complete clown show? Like, they will literally dress each wrestler up as a clown and send them out.
Well, I hope they take the sports feel seriously. I mean, to a degree. I mean, if it gets too serious and nobody ever laughs, and it's just like this, you know, even the backstage segments are, you know, just like contrived in the amount of, you know, seriousness these guys take on with their personas, I think that would be a mistake. You have to allow some room for character and charisma and whatnot. But I have a feeling we're going to see some of these guys who, like Tozawa or Kendrick or TJ Perkins, or, you know, some of these guys that have been wrestling for 10 plus years and are known commodities outside of WWE. I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, guys that are lesser known that are cherry picked on this list to have one of those Cinderella runs and beat some of those guys. And perhaps, you know, they win a NXT contract. I don't know what the final winner of this classic actually gets, if it's a inaugural championship trophy or if they're actually fighting for contracts or if WWE is never just, it's just going to kind of leave that out there and just, you know, wait and see what fan response is to some of these guys. But I can't imagine that we're not going to see at least, I don't know, a dozen of them get hired eventually.
Yeah, I mean, you have some guys, obviously, Ciampa and Gargano are completely under contract. Like, WWE has them on the Samoa Joe deals, basically. They're using them constantly. They're part of their upcoming plans. I would think the upcoming rate of NXT means Gargano and Ciampa are gonna are definitely going to move up to regular NXT guys, not on these Joe deals, if WWE wants them there. What about, you know, guys like Kota Ibushi, Akira Tozawa, guys who have been around internationally for a long time that haven't gotten a chance there? Cedric Alexander is another one. If you've been watching Ring of Honor, you know the guy's good. He's pretty young. He's raw still. WWE could do a lot worse than sign him. Even Drew Gulak, who I think is the most boring man who ever lived. I would say I hate him with the passion I hate B-Boy with, but I can't get passionate about Drew Gulak at all. Even Gulak, he's a really solid worker in the ring. Like, he could really hold his own in NXT, and you put him with a more charismatic tag team partner, and I think he could do really well in NXT. There are enough guys on this list that I look at and go, wow, they could end up doing a lot. I know it has been rumored. Do you think it's possible that they could put out, say, I'm trying to think of the right way to say it, a cruiserweight champion after this, that NXT shows would feature an actual cruiserweight champion?
I don't know. It seems like they would have given that a little bit more play if that's the case. I don't know why you would keep that extremely close to your chest if that was indeed the plan. But I guess it's not impossible. I think NXT seems to be the most likely place where they would attempt to grow an audience for a cruiserweight division. And perhaps if it catches fire, they can, you know, they can bring that type of wrestling up to the main roster. But I don't know if it's just going to be one of those cases where, okay, people really dig this. Let's make it a part of our regular product. And, you know, we'll slowly introduce some of these guys who, you know, it seemed like people were responding to into our programming, or, you know, they can go with the big splash approach and have, you know, have Ibushi or somebody who they think could carry that division, whoever that would be. And Ibushi's just my favorite in the tournament in terms of personal preference, but carry that championship onto NXT and start, you know, taking on whoever shows up. Because I think, you know, either way, you know, they'll end up with, you know, a few more guys on that roster who can go on these house show tours and draw money for them.
Yeah. Especially with those touring NXT shows, they're going to need quite a few guys to have the good matches NXT is expected to have. Jake, on a scale of 1 to 10, final question for today. How excited are you about the Cruiserweight Classic?
Yeah, at this point, I'm going to give it a solid 7. Like, I'm not crazy, you know, like 10, like out of my mind excited about it. But it's just its own unique thing, and it doesn't carry any of the weight of, you know, creative expectations. It's just going to be a fun tournament with a bunch of guys who I, you know, most of whom I have limited experience in watching, and so it's just a chance to see something completely new and different. And I'm looking forward to the presentation changes. I think it's nice when we see WWE, you know, sort of take off, you know, the albatross of their presentation guidelines. Like, Kevin Dunn makes every show look exactly the same. And so if it's different, then I'm all for it. I like experimentation. So that's why I'm looking forward to this the most.
Yeah, I think I'm at like a 7 or an 8, probably closer to 8, because it's a chance to see WWE try to use their really high production values and the really great stuff that they do, and use it in a different way. It's a chance to see them try a different format, kind of try a different genre of wrestling show, if you will. And that's not something WWE does an awful lot. So I'm really, really excited to see how it works and what they do. And I think they're going to do it relatively well. So Yeah, I'll go with an 8. Jake, that will wrap it up for us today. We'll be back tomorrow with a preview of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Until then, bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!